You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim, Jamal, and Zaylor are back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your Sunday afternoon, evening, wherever you may be. We really do appreciate you spending your time with us. Okay, guys, shout out. Say hello to everybody.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed their Easter last Sunday.
Absolutely. Welcome, welcome.
That's it. Hey, anybody trying to email today, having a little problem with the with receiving email, so either go to the chat comment side on the actual line itself or, you know, text me for those of you that have the ability to text me as well. At any rate, look, today we're going to cover some things. We're going to, first of all, finish up on this active shooter safety tips, because it was an important factor that I wanted to discuss last week and didn't get to. And I said it might take 2 weeks in order to do it. We're also going to be talking about the Major League Baseball, which is going to be our main topic today, I think, is the situation with Georgia and these voting rights, and the fact that Major League Baseball moved from Atlanta to Denver. Zayla really wants to dive in on that and start talking about some of the good points and the bad points of the whole nine yards, although we'll all talk about it and offer opinions without a doubt. Before we get into any and all of that, we've got Jamal, because every week Jamal is just always bursting at the scene, you know, talk about all those bad people out there that he wants to put on blast. So let's just go ahead and get that done. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, man, sometimes we got to call people front and center, man, to face these charges of stupidity at times, you know. The first blast this week goes out to a minor league baseball team called the Grizzlies, baseball team. The family is suing them the son is suing the California baseball team because his father died in a taco eating contest.
And actually, taco eating contest,
huh?
He died because he ate too many tacos?
In a taco eating contest, he actually choked to death in a taco eating contest. The son is saying that they wasn't told that this could be very dangerous and could cost them a life. They had no medical staff on there available to help this choking man. So he's suing the event organizers because his dad ate too many tacos at this taco eating contest at a minor league baseball game.
You know, normally when people participate in those kind of things, they sign waivers because of the fact that you don't know what's going on. So, you know, who knows? We'll see where they go with that. But of course, when they sign those disclaimers and waivers, et cetera, it's always going to be, but we didn't know you weren't going to have this or that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But litigation is litigation. Matter of fact, first of all, I want to get our update from my man on the ground in Minnesota with the George Floyd trial. But Jamal, who else you got on blast?
I got one more blast. A Michigan home inspector. Did you guys hear about this?
I don't think so.
Oh, you guys want
to know? Well, we never hear about these things that you dig up and unearth in all these different places.
No, everybody needs to hear this one, man, because a Michigan home inspector was left alone to do an inspection on the house. Well, while the family was away, they got an alert on their nanny cam in the nursery of their home. Well, while the home inspector was alone in the nursery, he decided to pick up the child's Tickle Me Elmo doll and pleasure himself with this doll. And it was all caught on camera that was in the nursery. The family watched it and recorded it and called the authorities right away. He tried to deny it at first, but when the police got there, they said, look, it's all on tape. And so he's been arrested.
For what?
Pleasuring himself with a Tickle Me Elmo doll in these people's nursery. And I think it was called like destruction of property and things like under destruction of property and some other things.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is because he had permission to be in the house to do other work, right?
Right, but it was destruction of property.
You mean because of the doll? So the doll got destroyed in the process?
Well, yes, he made a mess of the doll, and he put the doll back. where it belongs.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Well, you know, if we did a follow-up on that one, I'm not sure where that's going to go. you know, you can't even call it lewd and lascivious conduct in public because he's not in public. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. He had permission to be in the house. So what they're, you know, pleasuring himself, I hate to say it for him, is not going to be a crime in and of itself. So the destruction of property is going to be interesting. At any rate, counselor, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. Is that about summing up from your perspective or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy answer. Yeah, look, I agree with you, Jim.
I personally think he should catch a 5 to 10.
Jamal, shut up.
Does that mean a beat down?
Man. I'm sorry. Hey, wait, look, let's move it. Hey, Zella, give us an update, though, on what's going on with the George Floyd trial. I mean, we've seen a lot this week in reference to that, and I don't know what people have caught and not caught on this, but everything I saw is that this guy might be in trouble. So give us an update. What's going on with this guy? Hey, you know, I just noticed the phone number is not on. So for our technical people there, the phone number needs to be on the screen.
Yep, it was on earlier. I'm sure it's coming back. It covers up my name a little bit. So, all right, George Floyd trial. What would they end up being? 6 officers that testified. You have the most senior officer in Minneapolis. So, you know, the number one officer with seniority, been with the force since the 1980s, all the way up to the police chief and others testifying to the fact that the use of and even an expert from the Los Angeles Police Department. Talking about the use of force being above and beyond what was required and necessary given the circumstances. You ended up having, the coroner that performed the autopsy explain his report because there was a lot of questions in regards to his report, why he didn't say asphyxiation as opposed to others. There was a really dynamic witness that testified. The Irishman was the expert in regards to, he provided all kinds of different, you know, visuals as it relates to, you know, what happened with Floyd's murder and the exact moment in when George Floyd had died. And yet still 3 minutes after that, Chauvin still had his knee on George Floyd's neck. So they pretty much closing the arguments and then moving on to the prosecution, the defense next week. Again, their focus has been trying to determine that or spin that George Floyd died of prior health conditions as well as being under the influence of illegal narcotics. Jamal, you going to say something?
You know, see, the shocker in all of this is LAPD gave testimony to police brutality.
You know, when I heard that it was an LAPD officer, I thought I was hearing something, you know, that I was hearing it wrong a couple of times, but then noticed that he was an expert. But he spent, I think he's trained over tens of thousands of officers across the country as it relates to use of force.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I was in the Sheriff's Academy, we went through force. Nobody ever told us put our knee on somebody's neck. There's so many other ways that you can subdue people. You know, I hate to say about, you know, everybody deserves a chance with their defense, obviously. But this guy, the testimony that I listened to this week, that better be one hell of a defense they put on next week. Because he's in trouble.
I think at this point, they're just trying to minimize how much time he gets.
Well, I mean, they may be thinking twice about that offer that was up in front of Attorney General Barr as it relates to, I think it was 10 years. But the whole thing is that he didn't want to accept the plea. That would be Derek Chauvin and his attorneys because he could still technically be held accountable in regards to federal charges. So he wanted the plea deal to include both state and federal charges.
Mm. Well, look, here's the deal. He's got 3 different things that they can convict him on. So he's going to jail. It's just a question of which one.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, everybody deserves their day in court. That's what he's going to get. So we'll just have to wait and see. So, okay. Jamal, are you finished with your blast? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Let's get into these emails. I was trying to send Ronan to tell you that the telephone number still does not mm-hmm. mm-hmm. People might want to call in. At any rate, Jim, Joe Biden ran as a moderate, yet he is pushing a progressive agenda being forced by AOC and the other progressive Democrats. Immigration, the infrastructure bill, which has green written all over it, the filibuster racist argument, and now the so-called bipartisanship commission to assess putting more justices on the Supreme Court. What is your opinion on adding to the number of justices? Frustrated, Nashville, Tennessee. Look, first of all, I don't agree with that personally. Everybody can voice their opinion. The sad part about it is even, and I said this, you know, even in private circles before Justice Ginsburg had passed away, that I always felt that that would not be the thing to do, to pick another conservative for the Supreme Court. I thought that is what Trump should have done, was pick somebody a little bit more moderate, at least somebody a little bit more moderate, so that they always have that balance. The problem is that no matter which side is in control, they're always going to pick somebody consistent with their point of view. And that's the sad part about it. This, to me, would add into the Supreme Court would be the same thing. Because come on, if they're going to put somebody on the Supreme Court, you know what's going to happen. They're going to balance it off. They're going to put more liberals on the Supreme Court. And what happens the next time the Republicans are in power, so to speak? They're going to turn around. It's a never-ending type of battle, in my opinion. So, you know, the Supreme Court, in my opinion, should be totally neutral all the way down the road, period. And I wish that there was no politics involved in it, but unfortunately there is. Zayla, I'll let you hum in first on this, and then Jamal, your opinion.
Where to begin in regards to the Supreme Court? Well, you know, in regards to not providing Merrick Garland with the ability to be able to have his confirmation hearing, I think is where this problem started, that where we're currently in. And so that being an issue with Antonin Scalia passing away, and then with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, created some challenges, because it appears as though the Republican Party provided a particular stance that was different than the stance that they had held before. But then when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, they changed the stance. And so that's where the challenge becomes. I mean, if there had been some consistency across the board in regards to how the Republican Party handled the last two passings of Supreme Court justices, I think we'd be in a different situation. I'm with you, Jim. You know, I believe in the sanctity of the court. I normally wouldn't be a fan of adding justices to the court, but I think that the way that this was handled for the last two justices really did a disservice to the American public, and has created, you know, I think some appearance of illegitimacy in regards to at least the last two justices on the Supreme Court for a chunk of the population. And that really shouldn't be the case with the Supreme Court. You would really hope that that really wouldn't be the case, but that's where we're at.
Well, we want to point out the Republicans and what they did wrong. Look, the finger pointing is always one thing, you know, on everything that people should have done when you're on the other side of the aisle. Everything that you do is wrong. The two people they put on the Supreme Court are two very intelligent people, for one thing. Jamal, go ahead and lay it.
Why do we always got to go?
Why are you shaking your head, Zayla? See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I'm shaking my head too, because on this one, just because if that's who did something wrong at the time they was in power, okay, don't agree with it. Somebody don't agree with it, they don't agree with it. I don't think it was handled right either. You know, and it happened to be at that time a Republican who did it. So I don't think there's nothing wrong with disagreeing with how it was handled the last time. It could have been handled, and I think we all agree to that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that you didn't like how it was handled. So don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. What I am saying, first of all, let me back up. Remember what I said. I don't agree that Trump should have picked a conservative, okay?
I don't think Jamal's issue is in regards to who was selected. Right. These people are qualified for the position. The issue is changing the process, right? What legitimacy was there not to provide Merrick Garland his confirmation hearing, and then providing a confirmation hearing for Amy Coney Barrett? That's what it is. My issue isn't with the justices. Would I rather them be more in the middle of the road? Absolutely. But what I can't find is similar analogous situations in the past where Democrats changed the system at the last minute so that they can get justices on the court. That's the part that I have concerns with.
Well, just be clear, what you're talking about is the fact that at the time that Garland was being nominated, okay, there was an upcoming election. Okay, and what you're saying, as I recall, is that the Republicans at that time turned around and said, no, we should wait till the new president comes in. Okay, now that's what the issue was, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Now, in all honesty, you saying that hasn't happened in the past. We need to do the fact check on that. I don't necessarily agree with that.
And do the fact check. Well, we can talk about it next week. When did the Democrats put in a rule that prevented a Republican president from being able to put forth a Supreme Court justice for a confirmation hearing? I think that should be pretty easy for us to find out if that's been situations.
Well, exactly. Okay, because the position is that the Democrats, you know, have a tendency to do everything right, and the Republicans have a tendency.
So
let's keep moving. We'll do the fact checking, and we'll come back next week and talk about that. That's
love
good.
It.
I agree.
Okay? Absolutely.
But I might remind you that you're the one that's told me in the past you don't like going back into the past about things. You like staying with stuff in the future. But we'll go back on that one. Next email. Jim, the Republican legislator in Georgia pushed through a voter ID plan that has racism written all over it. I don't agree that the MLB should have moved the All-Star game, but do understand they're using that impactful approach to speaking out. Mark from Baltimore, Maryland. Well, we're going to be talking about that in a moment or two anyway. But, you know, I think on the show we've talked in the past about sports and politics, and I think we've all agreed that no matter how much we would prefer sports not to be in politics, I mean, come on, guys. It's going to be smack dab in the middle of politics. Jamal, you go first this time.
Well, absolutely. Athletes are voters, too. You know what I mean? So everybody's going to have a say-so and everything that's going on with politics. Do I agree that they should have moved it? I don't think so. I don't think they should have moved it. But they have done it in the past for political reasons. I mean, I've seen Super Bowls moved because of different things. I think it was Arizona didn't want to celebrate MLK's birthday. Is that enough to move a Super Bowl? I didn't think so. But if that's what they wanted to do, that's what they wanted to do. There's a lot of these things that happen like that where I don't think it's a dangerous thing to mix politics and sports, but like I said before, these athletes are voters too, and so are the fans.
Zeke, go ahead and chime in. We're going to be talking about this a little bit more. Yeah. But just, you know, just on the theory of politics, let's just say politics and sports for the moment.
I mean, just like Jamal said, they're all voters and they have platforms. And it's hard to be able to put that to the side when it's something that impacts you personally. So let's say some of these MLB players that might be on the All-Star game in a state that, you know, and it's going to make a bunch of money. And this is a state that doesn't value them enough to allow for them to be able to have the same access to voting as they did in the last election. You know, they're voters just like everybody else. And so just because they happen to be in a position where they have a higher platform, should they be prevented from being able to speak? And I know we're going to spend a lot more time talking about this, but, you know, MLB is a business. And so they're looking at it, I think, based on the dollars.
Hey, Zell, why don't you take a moment, because I'm standing there looking at that T-shirt. Are you telling Jamal and I to stay awake and not to fall asleep during the show? Stay woke. I mean, is that what that is?
Oh, so this shirt, Stay Woke, Live Inclusively, is a shirt from the Winters Group. It's a group that does a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion training for corporations. So assisting them in regards to their diversity efforts, whether it be equitable pay, whether it be providing equal access to different people of different backgrounds to be able to get jobs and rise up the ranks, you know, including diversity and members of senior management.
Well, you know what? We've actually talked about examples that are brain lightning. To be able to do that, to actually open people's eyes up, et cetera. Let's get to this third email real quick. Jim, my family and I fully appreciate the active shooter safety tips and have shared them with other family and friends. A week has not gone by where there hasn't been an active shooter event. Crime is on the rise, active shooters are emerging, and now some of the defunding the police cities are suffering. Anyway, keep up the good work and kudos to your team. Susie from New Haven, Connecticut. Well, we always appreciate getting the comments and things of that nature. I think the issue about defunding the police, some of that is a little bit misleading. I'm sure Zella will chime in on that, you know, to using those words in terms of how far some of that has really gone, okay? So not to get into it. We've talked about it on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
But it's true that crime has risen across the nation for whatever reason. So I don't think anybody's going to argue about that, whether it's because of the fact that they defunded or whatever the case may be, could be, again, one of those subjects of debate. I don't know. You want to chime in on that, guys, before we move on?
It's not just publicly either, man. That's what people got to be careful of, because we've seen a lot of incidents of family, of domestic incidents. I just heard of a guy who actually murdered his daughter's whole family on her birthday. I think she was a 9-year-old little girl, and he killed everybody in the house except for the 9-year-old who actually was hiding in the closet somewhere and called 911. There was another incident. I don't think it's the same as a football player, former football player that played for the Raiders, just murdered his whole family. And, you know, I mean, so it's not just public, it's also domestic at home stuff too. We have to be careful of and what to do. These are sad times, and it's pretty scary.
You know, they are sad times. And if you notice, a lot of those active shooter situations that have taken place are business related, which actually segues right into what we're going to be talking about with these final safety tips. One of the things that I had wanted to talk about last week with the safety tips has to do with these things called, you know, the door stoppers. You guys know what I'm getting ready to say, but, you know, for the people that are listening, those door stoppers that people use to keep a door open, as an example, those same door stoppers can be used to keep a door closed. People don't realize that. The investment for those are very, very minimal. And the same way that they can keep an open door, a door open, they can keep a door closed. So what you do is that buy one of those. They're very inexpensive. You never know when you may need it. All you got to do is put it at the base of that door. And I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to open that door. Now, let me just tell you. One thing about active shooters, especially in businesses, that they know that they have a limited amount of time in order to do whatever they got to do. So any obstruction, okay, that can be put in their way, they're going to go by it and look for the easy targets. These door stoppers are really, really good things to be able to use and keep in your purses, all right? You can use that for when you're out in the general public, et cetera. If you're traveling, especially internationally, having those kind of things would help you also. The other thing is that you might be in a room, all right, especially, I'm talking business now especially, but you might be in a room where the door has those, that elbow type of hinge that opens and closes like this. What is it, Jamal?
It's at the top of the door.
It's at the top of the door, right. So if you're in that situation, you take off your belt or your tie or something else and wrap it around that hinge, the door hinge can expand and they can't open the door. I mean, it's very, very simple things from that perspective. Again, I would encourage you, because we can't cover everything on the show regarding the domestic terrorism safety tips, but it is online. We did notice an influx from 2 weeks ago. Go online to Amazon. It's very inexpensive. It's got a lot of good tips in there and a lot of good protections for women and things of that nature. But I wanted to at least mention the business about the door stoppers, because those door stoppers, quite frankly, are very, very good. All right? They're very good. Domestic terrorism safety tips online, Amazon. Let's keep moving, guys. Okay. I want to read, before we get into this business about the voting in Georgia and, you know, yummy, yummy about that, I want to read this introduction first, because the words have been bandied about by the Biden administration. I'm not pointing any one particular person. But they keep talking about Jim Crow, all right, Jim Crow. And I don't think a lot of the listeners probably even know about Jim Crow. I mean, we've heard Jim Crow, but I'm going to read something to you as an introduction. Jim Crow laws were state and local laws that enforced racial segregation in the southern United States. These laws were enacted in the late 19th and early 20th centuries by white southern Democrats who dominated state legislators to disenfranchise and remove political and economic gains made by black people during Reconstruction. Jim Crow laws were enforced until 1965. Zayla, that's a date we've talked about before, 1965. Now, just for people to understand what this means is that it is absolutely true that during Reconstruction, blacks were put in power in the southern states, and some of the Caucasians got upset about that. They felt that they weren't being treated fairly because the North was down there and basically jamming black people, you know, et cetera, down their throats, et cetera. So that lasted a very long time. So, you know, from that perspective. So look, whether it doesn't matter who did this, in all honesty, it's true that we were a nation that was, in fact, you know, they did it with women, okay, in terms of women couldn't vote. They did it with blacks in terms of blacks couldn't vote. So the bottom line is that we want every American given, okay, every citizen, I should say, given the opportunity to vote. And anything that stands in that way, I think we're all in agreement on, would be problematic. Where the division comes is what's intended by this different legislation and who's the one that's introducing the legislation. And now that the telephone number has disappeared from the screen again, somebody just texted me that they're trying to call in. But at any rate, so that's where we are. So is what I want to do is to start off with, first of all, we understand that the Major League Baseball has moved the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver, Colorado, okay? My only problem with this is that, okay, first of all, the money that's involved with it, I understand the principle that people are making, but you got to understand in a pandemic how all these different cities have been hurting financially. And the All-Star game was going to bring $100 million into the Atlanta area. Approximately 52% of the people in Atlanta are African American. There's only 9% of those people of African American people in Denver. Okay, so it's like, wait a minute. You know, my mother used to say, "Don't cut off your nose to spite your face." To me, a protest can be done, peaceful, of course. Okay, an objection to the legislation, but not one that ultimately hurts those people. At any rate, let me let you guys weigh in. Zella, yours is probably going to be a little bit longer pitch than Jamal. So let me go to Jamal first on the basics with this, and then we'll come to you, Zella, okay? So Jamal, go ahead.
Well, I don't understand where Joe Biden is coming in with the Jim Crow laws. What's his comparison?
First of all, Jamal, in my opinion, and I'm sure Zella will have an opportunity to comment, but the Democrats do have a tendency to yell, "Everything is racism," which can be very annoying, quite frankly, because after a while, it's like the little boy that cried wolf. Everything can't be racism, okay? But yet, it does get spouted a little bit too much, in my opinion. The Jim Crow laws, Jamal, is what he's saying, is that it's racist because we're not letting people vote, okay? The voter ID appears to be one of the main issues. And Zella, you can weigh in on that, obviously. So basically, that's where they're coming from.
Well, first of all, I hate to hear Joe Biden complaining about Jim Crow laws when he was part of the problem back in the day, where he didn't want his kids going to school in the, what did he call it, a jungle with with other black students and stuff like that. So I don't want to hear him crying about Jim Crow now. But I don't see how. I think every American should have ID, and I think they do have ID, so I don't understand the issue. I think most black people have ID in order to vote, whether it's a driver's license, a regular ID. I don't think there's nothing wrong with having ID to vote. I mean, you got to have ID to travel. You got to have ID to drive. You got to have ID when you go to the doctor. You got to have ID when you pay for things with credit cards. So I don't see what the issue is about having ID to vote.
Okay. Zella, why don't you go ahead and weigh in? Because I'm sure you're going to give us some, some views that will be consistent with your ideology and that whole left side of the aisle. You know, so go ahead and weigh in, and we're going to be getting a call here shortly as well because I've got a guy that's actually in Atlanta that's going to actually be giving us a call. I was like on the ground people, so you know, somebody's on the ground to give their little slant on it. Go ahead, Zayla, while we're waiting for that call.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that for the Democrats, the voter ID is the biggest issue, because voter ID has been an issue and a problem as it relates to voting for at least the last 10 years. So I wouldn't say that that's the part that makes the law that passed in Georgia distinctly different. However, one of the things that made the Democrats more successful in this election, as well as with a special election, was the souls to the polls. So that would be black people after church going together to go vote. And so my understanding in regard to this law is that they've made it so that the polls have the decision to either be open on Saturday or on Sunday. So if they did, so if they locally just decide to be open on Saturday as opposed to Sunday, and the stats show that, you know, over 50%, maybe somewhere close to 75%, I don't remember what the number is, of Black people that vote on Sunday, then it appears as though that they're specifically targeting Black folks. There's that. Then there's other issues like,
let me comment on that because I don't want to lose that thought, okay? But I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, this actually voting law, it's 95 pages. And let me just tell you something. There is specifically, it's around 95 pages or something, but it specifically actually has more voting opportunities now. Is it the voting time before, I think it was under 15 days, 14 days or something of that nature. It's actually extended somewhere between 17 and 19 days. Okay. Now, Denver is only 15. So this new law actually gives them more opportunities. And it also talks about the fact that there's two Saturdays in there as well. But I'm sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to get that point in.
One of the main differences between Colorado and Georgia is that everybody's able to vote through mail-in ballot in Colorado. So, and then that's an aspect that they pulled away from Georgia, or limiting their ability to be able to vote by mail in Georgia. So trying to provide analogies there, it ends up being a little problematic, I think. But there's optics in regards to the Georgia voting one as well. What's the point of making it unlawful for people to be able to provide water and food to people that are waiting in line?
That is not true. Listen, is what that law is, and that is definitely misleading to the general public, is what they're talking about. There's already a law in place that within a certain distance from the polling place where nobody can approach anybody. Now, that has been standard law forever and a day. So that was completely misleading when Joe Biden came out and said, people can't even get water. That is not what that's about. It was a certain distance between there. So if somebody's way at the back of the end of the line, that's not a problem for the water or refreshments. It's when they get within a certain distance of the polling place that they can't approach anybody. The reason for that is that they don't want people walking up to people, who you're going to vote for, who you're going to vote, those types of things. That's what that law was intended to be. So it's misleading when they say that. Now, come on, Zayla.
It's looking for a problem that doesn't exist. Now, yes, there are laws on the books indicating that you can't work. Yeah, I know that there's laws, because I've been a poll watcher here in Minnesota since Obama's first election. So that if you are with a campaign, you can't go over and try to, you know, encourage people to vote one way or the other. You have to be a certain number of feet or yards away from the polling place. Absolutely support that. There's nothing wrong with that. But people that are just trying to make sure that grandma has water and food because she's been in line for 8 hours to vote is a different story. And the other aspect, and the big problem is the limiting and the minimizing of the number of polling places that are available in these urban centers, where people have to wait, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours to be able to vote. And why is that the case, right? And so those are the problems that I see in regards to these. Is where I think people are trying to, you know, say that it's Jim Crow-esque, where it's trying to limit people's ability to be able to vote in certain areas within the state.
Okay, I'm confused, Naylor. Help me out with this. Jamal, we'll come to you in a second. Just help me out with something. In this last election, we had more people that voted than had ever voted in American history for a president. That doesn't sound to me like anybody had any problem getting to the polls. The other issue is these ballot stuffing situations. People coming in from other states, that was all on the news. I know you're laughing, Zayla, because you
heard that. Oh, ballot stuffing.
But the reality is that those things didn't happen. I don't believe what Trump was talking about with fraud, okay? But we already know.
Sounds like the same stuff to me.
Of course, and it would. Long way in.
Hey, I'm kind of confused on the whole grandma getting water in line. Is somebody like coming down the line saying, who you voting for? Oh, I ain't giving you water and giving it to somebody else.
Like, no. What happened was that Joe Biden said that this new law doesn't permit people who are waiting in line to get a drink of water while they're waiting in line, Jamal. And that's not what the law is. He misled the public with that. It's what it is, what Zayla just confirmed and agreed with, is that there is a law that within a certain distance of the polling, Jamal. So let's say you're getting ready to go vote, right?
Right.
You're getting ready to go into the polling place. And now they have people to come up and you say, Jamal, hey, man, you need to vote for such and such and such and such. Okay, that's why they don't let anybody within a certain distance of the polling place itself. That's what they're talking about. Not refusing to let grandma get a drink of water, Jamal. She's going to pass out and die on the ground. That is not what that law is. Go ahead. I'm getting a text message here, but go ahead, Jamal.
Okay, that's what I just needed clarification on, because I wasn't sure how that works. It seemed like to me, when people go to vote, they pretty much got their mind made up on who they're voting for. I don't think anybody's making any last-second decisions.
Well, that's a law that's been around a long time. People are texting. I don't know what's going on with the call-in situation or not here. Today's just not. Let's see. This person said, but they offer no excuse mail-in ballots. Why can't there be encouragement to vote absenteeism? I think with the Georgia election, they had three times the amount of mail-in ballots than they've ever had before. Three times the amount. I'm sure all of them. Zeller, you've been out of town, and I turn around and said, hey, Zeller, I got your ballot right here at the house, and you're in Minnesota. What would stop me from being able to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to mail this in, okay, and write in whatever I want to write in there in terms of my voter selection choice. What's there to stop me from doing that?
Because your signature wouldn't match mine, and then it would be flagged, and then they would do an investigation in regards to it. They would find that I'm registered here and that I voted here and find out who got that ballot and who sent it in.
Yeah, and you know what? And you're going to tell me that that didn't happen in the last election? We have a personal family member, I'm not going to mention the name on air, okay, that passed away, okay, way before this election, in the presidential election, and it was all over the news because of the fact that people took his family took his thing and sent it in, okay? And that is what, Jamal, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, I know what you're talking about, but that's not what happened. That's not what I heard about.
Well, Jamal, okay, I don't know who you talked to, okay, but I know what conversation I had, okay? And I know what you're going to tell me, that somebody said it was some kind of mistake. Well, that's after they knocked on the door. It still got mailed in, is the point, because that's why it got caught, so to speak.
Right.
It still got mailed in. What? Okay, it came there in this person's name. Why was it sent in at all?
Because two people had the same name.
At any rate, the problem with absenteeism ballots is that we really don't know how reliable it is. Okay, we got another one here. Let's see. If Trump had won Georgia, would the Republicans there be trying to create new laws to make it harder to vote? Ain't nobody trying to make it harder to vote.
And no.
I don't disagree with that. But you know what?
So
here's the problem. Republicans versus Democrats. Go ahead, Zeller.
No, I think it's funny.
It is funny. Because you guys are in power right now. It wasn't funny when you guys weren't in power. I can tell you that.
Here's the thing. There is clearly one party that's interested in having more people have access to the ballot, regardless of whether they're going to vote for them or not. And then there's one party that's trying to limit the number of people that get to go to the ballots.
That is not true. Is 11 million undocumented people who
you're 11 million
wants them to be able to vote in with no ID, just go in there and vote. That's right. What you guys want, because you want those votes. That's why got them streaming across the border right now. Okay. Hugging them all. Come on up now. You know, Trump is out. Go ahead, Jamal.
I would say you not being I think you're being disingenuous about that because.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think, the more undocumented workers, as they're calling them now, that come across, the more votes that goes to one party. We know that. That's not true.
How can you say that? Give me a break, man. You're not even being honest.
I would love for us all to come back with our research and our sources. In regards to things. So there's, and I can't find the name of it, but there's a very reputable organization. I don't know if it's like the Brookings Institute or whatever. They've been tracking instances of voter fraud since inception of the organization. I want to say it's like 40 years, right? According to their data, which again, nonpartisan, Republican, Democrats, everybody say that this is the quintessential perfect place to be able to get this information. It's like 0.00000006 instances of voter fraud, percentage of voter fraud. It doesn't.
With millions of all these people have voted, you're saying that maybe at best, out of all of those million votes, millions and millions of votes, there's only six instances of voter fraud.
I'm talking about percentage points out of votes cast. Now, not just this election, all the elections for the last, let's say, 40 years, that it's 0.00006. I will provide you with the sources. I'll provide you with the sources. It's not millions and millions of undocumented people coming across the border to vote. That's a scare tactic. That's not
true. The reason why is because there are certain things in place right now to be able to prevent that. That's not the problem. The problem is you guys don't want voter ID because you want people just to be able to walk up and vote, okay, without identifying themselves. And like John said earlier, Jamal said earlier, and I got a text message, Jim, you need to stop watching Fox News. Let me tell you something. I watch Fox News and I watch CNN. And the person that sent that in, ask them if they ever watch Fox News. They don't. Okay, so that's why they are as closed-minded as you are about this stuff. We watch both.
Okay? Oh, closed-minded.
Let me ask you this. Do you think everybody votes should have ID, or you don't think everybody needs ID to vote?
Here's the thing. I don't necessarily have a dog in that fight. The thing is that what
just let them vote. We don't care who they are.
No, because we're privileged to be able to know and be able to get access to these things. The thing is that there are certain states where it's very, I mean, I have a friend that moved from Minnesota to Arizona, and they required two or three bills and two or three forms of ID and all this kind of stuff in order to be able to get an ID for the state. Whereas you have senior citizens, let's say, that don't need, that aren't driving anymore. Why do they need an ID to be able to vote if they've been going to the same voting place for the last 60 years? They know the poll people. They provide their address. They can provide a bill if there's a concern in regards to things. There's safeguards in regards to confirming people's ability to be able to vote. Does it make it easier for voter ID? Absolutely. But I know that there are challenges for people to be able to get ID, and not everybody needs an ID. Jamal, you know, we know people that go to check cashing places.
An ID in this country, even if it's like a California ID, as an example, you can't get a driver's license. I'll tell you one thing, because you got, what community are you guys talking about? Because if you know about the low income communities, don't they need ID to get their welfare benefits, the checks, to go to the post office, to get their food stamp? They need ID for that. You can't get on a plane. Wait, we're getting some text messages from the person that was trying to call in. And I don't know what's going on. He's trying to call in. He can't get in. Why are states trying to restrict voting rights, particularly after the last election? For insurance, removing voting drop boxes in certain communities, removing mailboxes. Well, I don't know. You know, again, those were some of the allegations. This other person is texting in that he watches Chris Wallace on Fox. So I guess don't accuse him of not watching Fox. Chris Wallace, I would agree. So if you're going to watch Fox News, watch Chris Wallace, because I like Chris Wallace because he tells it straight. So you'll watch him and not watch anybody else because the rest of them are a bunch of liars. I get it.
I'll say this, man. You know, in terms of grandma not having ID, she could have state-issued ID even though she doesn't drive anymore. They got a driver's license and they got.
Why does she have to go and get an ID to be able to vote if they have the ability to be able to go?
Why not? What is wrong with having, when you go up to the poll to vote to make sure you are who you say you are, what in the heck is wrong with going up and saying, I am Jim Potts and here's my ID? What's wrong with that?
Not to mention, if you don't change the rules, if she's needed ID for the last 80 years of her life, she knows way in advance that she can get ID. It's not that hard to get identification.
Let me tell you, vote. You don't need an ID to vote here in Minnesota. You go there, you register.
Blue state.
You register to vote, and we vote, and we have Republican governors. What are you trying to say? We have a Republican Senate. Last time we were the only state in the union that had a bifurcated legislature. So one Democrat in one legislature, one Republican. Every other state had all Republicans or all Democrats. So to throw out that we're a Democratic state,
you
really
know,
doesn't help.
I know that you got a Republican. Listen, you know that in certain communities within any state, there's going to be some people that are going to be blue. There's some people that are going to be red. So don't throw that out there like that's some, you know, some crystal ball that, oh, you know, we have those. No, give me a break, okay?
I'm not trying to make it harder for grandma to vote. Y'all can make it harder for grandma to vote. I'm not interested.
What you guys want, okay, is all of those undocumented.
No, you're making assumptions.
Boom, here we go.
You're making assumptions. I'm not.
Why?
I'm clearly saying grandma shouldn't have an ID, and you're saying grandma needs to have an ID.
Absolutely.
You're saying that I want undocumented immigrants to be able to vote. I'm not saying that. I don't want undocumented immigrants to vote. People that are here and legally here that are registered and able to vote to be able to vote. I want all of them to be able to have access to it. I want automatic voter registration. There's lots of, I would like for there to be an election day to be a holiday so that people can actually vote.
I thought by law, anyway, when you leave the house, everybody's supposed to have identification on them. By law, in general, you're not even voting. Everybody's.
I don't know. Ask a police officer.
That's true. If you get stopped, listen, when I pull people over, okay, and in the car, and they've got a traffic violation, as an example, okay, and then I left my wallet home. Oh, women. Oh, I left my purse home. The moment a woman used to tell me, oh, I left my purse home, I knew right now there's an outstanding warrant, okay? She's driving on a suspended or revoked driver's license, okay? Because women don't generally leave their purses home. So
grandma's her pocketbook.
And right. what we would do, okay, is say, okay, show me something in your car or something, okay, that identifies you, like an envelope, you know, the letter, or, you know, a bill or something like that. But my point is that if a person...
That's the same thing they ask you to provide at the voting places.
You said that they have to register to vote. So let me ask you a question. When somebody goes to register to vote, do they need ID to register to vote?
I don't remember. I registered a long time ago.
No, you don't.
So then what's wrong with as of that day, okay, that they go down to register, excuse me, to vote, that they just identify who the person is?
If you don't need an ID to register to vote, then why do you have to show an ID to actually vote?
Well, to actually vote, you should have an ID.
Okay, hold on a second.
Again, grandma needs an ID. Grandma's illegally leaving the house without her ID. You're not even going to arrest her.
People are flying every which way. Biden got 4 Pinocchios for not telling the truth about the Georgia law. Somebody else wrote in and said voter fraud didn't become a big issue until Trump pushed his big lie on the election being stolen. True. Well, that's the same lie that Hillary told at first, too. Let's keep moving. Would they be angry if they needed an ID to go to Beyonce's concert?
Well, the people that are going to Beyonce's concert are going to have ID. Grandma's not trying to go.
You keep saying grandma. Is it grandma is the only one I think of? Please. Go ahead, Jamal. What were you going to say?
That's age discrimination. What you mean, grandma? Handicapped seat right there in the front.
Oh, I mean, give me a break, man. You know, the reality is that the problem with this is, once again, the politics, okay? No matter what the Democrats do, the Republicans don't like. No matter what the Republicans don't do, the Democrats don't like. So give me a break. I mean, that's a real issue here, okay?
I agree.
And that's the real issue. And, you know, I would like to hear one liberal one time say something positive about what a Republican did.
I would like to hear the reverse, too.
I have a friend. That's true, Jamal. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I got a friend, okay, that's out there I've known for years, that when Trump was in office, name one thing Trump did right. Oh, he didn't do anything right. After he gets out of office and he's gone and no longer in office, and he and I talk, he turns around and says, well, I said, well, what about that? Oh, yeah, well, that's one thing Trump. So now all of a sudden he's out of office. This is something he did right. But not when he was in office, when he got out of office. Give me a break.
I heard them ask Sean Hannity the same thing about Obama. Can you say anything good about Obama? All he could say was he has nice kids.
Okay. Okay, we got somebody just typed in and said hello. Okay, so yes, hello back to you. But do you have a question, I guess, is the question, you know, other than hello. But hello meaning hello. Got it, okay.
Uh-huh.
Put an asterisk after it next time. Now I just realized what that alone means, you know. Right. So, yeah. So, look, you guys, once again, the real issue here is politics, okay? We're never going to agree 100%. We got a liberal, we got a conservative.
He's independent, libertarian.
I'm independent.
He's independent.
Independent. We'll let you guys figure out which is which.
Guess who's who with the rest of y'all, but...
Somebody else is typed, and I also have a right not to vote. So I don't know, whatever. Okay, hey, listen, obviously it's been a scream, everybody. We really appreciate it. We got a lot of positive feedback to the person trying to call in. I'm not sure what the technical difficulty was. But at any rate, we do appreciate everybody listening. And do us a favor, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Hey, say goodbye to everybody, guys.
Hey, have a good week, everybody. See you next time. Right,
see you weekend.
You know, one other thing. You know, I keep getting people telling us we don't have enough time. People say they wish we'd be on here for 90 minutes. You know, at least 90 minutes, because the time goes by so fast. It does go by fast.
It does.
You know, we have
to do about it.
It goes by fast, but unfortunately, when they don't let us do 90 minutes. They only let us do 50 minutes. All right. All right. Take care, everybody.
Have a good one.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.